Hello, everyone, and welcome to Traveling with Françoise right here on Money Radio. I am Françoise Rhodes, your host, and for those of you just joining us, welcome to the show. You missed in the first hour, we had two filmmakers from the Palm Springs International Film Festival join us, and they were definitely quite interesting. Joining us in the boardroom is Alex Zetterain. Hi, Alex.
Hi there, Françoise.
All right. Now, Alex is new to the show. We want to welcome Alex to Traveling with Françoise. He does work with me on Saturdays on Golf is a Four-Letter Word. So, Alex, a lot of times we have listeners that kick in right now after church and whatnot. They're coming on and they join us for this hour of the show. They don't always get the first hour of the show. So I want to make sure everyone knows that Alex will be taking over for Sean. And I'm just going to be upfront and honest with everyone that Sean got in a dispute with the general manager back in Arizona in the last show that we had, and they let him go. So, but Sean is still part of my family, and we have some projects that we're talking about and working on. But so not to worry, he's still around, and whoever knows what's going to happen. But I am happy to say that Alex, because I know Alex and we've worked together before, and he's kind of getting to know me now, you know.
Yeah. And like I said, at the top of the first hour, you know, it's all about building chemistry.
Exactly. So he will be keeping us on the air and answering the phones and your questions. And of course, you know, I will be putting him on the spot like I like to do and find out what's going on. And he is a local here in the Coachella Valley. And so it's great to have everybody with us and happy new year. Yes, we start out the new year. Wow. Already. It's amazing. I have this big box already with my tax stuff looking at me that I'm just going to ignore. I'm going to shove it under my desk until February or sometime like that.
Yeah, I kind of look forward to tax season just because money.
Okay. Yeah, well, I don't get any back. I just try to write everything out. So. All right. In this hour of the show, we have, let's see, Jill and Michael Brogan. They're going to be joining us. They were just on a trip to Italy. They had a private tour of the Vatican, so they will be joining us. Going to be very, very interesting. We also have some passes to give away for the Palm Springs Aerial Tramway. We have Wipe the Slate Clean, so there's no 30-day can't win rule going on. We're starting all over again with that. So later on in the show, like I said, we'll have two passes for the Palm Springs Aerial Tramway. That's about close to a $50 value. And remember, if you are a resident of the Coachella Valley, there is no parking fee over there. In fact, you know what? People don't even mention the parking fee anymore. Remember when it was such a big deal? It was everybody was all upset about it and stuff. They don't even, because a lot of times when you go to places, you do have to pay to park. So.
Yeah, you know, just like amusement parks.
Yeah, exactly. So it is. But if you are a resident, show that ID. There is no parking fee. Now, for those of you travelers that are here and are snowbirds as well, and I am going to laugh, though, because we are having some really chilly weather here in the desert. And I actually had a snowbird admit to me the other day while I was walking that they, frankly, are really cold.
I don't blame them.
Yeah. But I was real happy to hear that because I've been sort of making fun of them saying, because they always wear shorts, no matter what the weather is. You guys are always wearing shorts out there. We have a lot of snowbird listeners, so, you know, I love y'all. But I think, okay, you're really liking this weather. But it was nice to hear someone from Canada say, no, Françoise, this is really cold.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably looking at weather that's quite a bit colder up there.
Yeah.
You know, but when they come down here, they're used to maybe 10, 15 degrees a little warmer.
Yeah.
And it's not giving us that right now.
No, this cloud cover, of course, we have these beautiful snow-dusted mountains all around us. Check it out. We had Dan Scanny, who called in the first hour of the show. He won a gift card to Ristretto in Palm Springs. He was saying that going to Idlewild, they're saying you should have chains. So we know Big Bear definitely up there at the top of the mountain. What's it? It's Lake Arrowhead's the next one at the top of the mountain up there.
I believe so.
Yeah. I always think of Tahoe, but Tahoe's the other way. That's Northern California. I love Tahoe as well. But anyway, so chains. Remember that. If you thought about just going up for some snow fun, I think the easiest thing to do is just go to the tram. You don't have to worry about chains. You don't have to worry about anything. You go up there. There's a ton of snow. Build your snowman. Have your snowball fights. And then you come down and you're home in 20 minutes.
Yeah, you don't drive very far. You easily pay that in gas, you know, going all the way over there. So a little bit safer.
Perfect. They have the restaurants up there. They have the museum. You can even go on a hike if you want. I don't think you'd want to camp at this time of year, but you can have a picnic out there, a snow picnic. So anyway, lots of stuff going on. All right. And remember, too, I always use the website Traveling with Françoise for podcasts, the television show, radio show podcasts, our contest page, our famous contest page, and so much more. Well, the government shutdown definitely is causing great havoc on a lot of our, well, all of our park system. In fact, here I was pulling out, when I saw some articles, I just pulled a few out to give you an idea what's going on. The flip side is you can get into the parks for free. However, the bad side is that no one's taking care of the restrooms. The trash is piling up. That's become a mess. And their volunteers are frankly just giving in and trying to help out because they don't want to see all that type of destruction that is going on. Muir Woods National Monument in Northern California will close beginning on Monday due to problems with overflowing trash cans and toilets during the partial government shutdown. The park is known for its towering redwood trees north of San Francisco. It was one of the several sites within the Golden Gate National Recreation Area that stayed open after the shutdown began 2 weeks ago. With limited staff to clean the grounds, they just can't keep up with it. They say one-way traffic plan to handle the heavy traffic to Marin Headlands overlooking the Golden Gate Bridge, though, will extend to January 28th. So if you are going to our parks across the country, don't expect to see the clean tidiness and all the rangers around and all that stuff. They're just not there.
Yeah, and if you do go, pick up your own trash.
Yeah, exactly. Pick it up and take it with you. What do you have to just pile it in a trash can for, really? I mean, yeah, I totally agree with you on that, Alex. Now, part of the Mojave Preserve, and that's the way I go to Vegas, the back roads to Vegas is through the Mojave Preserve, has closed. There is a the historic Kelso Depot. Have you ever been there? Back way?
Yes.
To Vegas?
Yes, I've driven past it.
Right, you go by the old train station,
yeah.
That train depot, which is now the visitor center. Okay, and they just put a whole bunch of new restrooms and stuff there as well. Well, the Preserve says in a statement, the closures occurred at 9 a.m. Friday and will remain in effect for the duration of the shutdown. The Kelso Depot was opened in 1924 by the Union Pacific Railroad to provide housing, eating, and recreational facilities for the employees because that area was a mining area, and they closed in 1985. It is now the Preserve's main visitor center. They say visitors are urged to use the restrooms in nearby communities. Really, the only nearby community is Amboy. Going in, that's it. Once you start going that back ways, it's Amboy until you get to the Kelso Depot, or you can hop on the freeway and cut back over to the 15. But and here's something that really hurts me because they put so much money in restoring that whole property. There's been vandalism and damage. Really, why? Why, people? Why?
It's just a lack of accountability by some.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so sad. And it's such a great spot. So anyway, that will not be open. So like I say, the parks are open and they're free. But again, you're not going to get the quality of a visit that you normally would the way it should be. Here's something else. TSA agents are calling in sick. The Transportation Security Administration employees have increased their sick days, have increased since a partial government shutdown beginning on the 22nd. An increase in call-outs, workers who say they are too sick to work their shifts, started over the holidays and has grown, but they say the phenomenon is causing a minimal impact on security screening process at the airports. I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it because I read more and more and more about these biometric systems that are going to be the screening process. It won't be people anymore. It will be they'll look at our eye, they'll use our fingers, they'll just use all these different ways electronically to scan us and make sure. So if I was one of these agents, I might be working.
Yeah, that's definitely a good reason, but also, you know, a lot of them are doing this voluntarily rather than, you know,
it's
their
such
paid job.
It's such a tough call. I mean, the whole thing is. And I just wish, I know, don't like to get into politics in the show. And we don't normally do that. So we're not really going to. But I'm just going to say, you know, you're supposed to work for the country, not against us. Both sides, not one, both. All right. Okay. Let's see. What do we have today? We have the tram passes to give away. We also are going to talk about some travel and industry news. We're going to do a lot of that when we come back. Animal Samaritans, they actually have some New Year's resolutions for your pets. I frankly don't do New Year's resolutions because I don't ever keep them. I just go into the new year with high hopes and high expectations and whatever happens, happens. But for a lot of you people that do New Year's resolutions, good luck to you. Alex, are you a New Year's resolution guy?
No.
Oh, good. Thank you. thought you were going to say, I have this long list of all these things, and then I would have to hold you accountable. No, I wouldn't, really. That's okay. But here's just a couple real quick before we go to break. It's and this is by Animal Samaritans, who are part of Traveling with Francois. You can go to their website, animalsamaritans.org. It is go for more walks. Take your pet for more walks. I totally agree with that. Let's see. Measure their food so they consistently eat the proper amount each day, not too much and not too little. I like that one, too. And make sure your pets have clean, fresh water. Clean out those slimy water bowls at least once a week that you forget about because you think, it looks good, and it don't know. Yeah. All right. Do you have any pets?
No, not right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Not right now. So, and one thing, one more thing before we go to break here. Right now where I live, there's a lot of travelers there. We love you all. We love all our visitors. But please, clean up after your pets. Don't try to act like you're going to and then you don't. Because I walk every night and I see you and I know that you don't. So, just so you know. I know.
Throw the shade.
There you go. All right. We're going to step aside for just a moment. We come back. We have a lot of travel news to talk about. So stick around. You're listening to Traveling with Francois right here on Money Radio. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francois. I am Francois Rhodes, your host. Joining us in the boardroom, keeping us on the air, is Alex Z. All right, this segment of the show is brought to you in part by Cabot's Pueblo Museum. You can go to their website, cabotsmuseum.org. They are in Desert Hot Springs. If you have never been, it is such a historic place, so interesting. You know, really shows you a lot about how things were, you know, back then in the day. Here at the Cabots. I don't know. Have you ever been to that, Alex?
Another thing that I'm guilty of.
We're going to have to send you to all of these places. All right. You and Leslie, your fiance, I'm giving you guys tickets. You're going to the Cabot as well. All right.
Yeah, going to have to.
Yeah. We're sending you to all these places. You're a native of the Valley.
I am.
Yes.
Yeah. And I've missed out on so many things, but. You know, now's the time to catch up, right?
That's right. We are going to rectify that. Okay, I'm going to jump into some industry news. But while I do that, I want to open the phone lines for passes for two for the Palm Springs Aerial Tramway. That's about a $50 value. They don't expire till I think sometime in March, something like that. 760-440-8255. That's 760-440-8255 for a chance to win two passes to the Palm Springs Aerial Tramway. And it's cold and snowy up there. So if you want to experience some snow, now's a good time. Also, you know, it's you have visitors coming in, take those, whatever. So the lines are open for that, 760-440-8255. And our 30-day rule is over. We're starting the year out fresh. So go ahead and give Alex a call. All right, the holidays, Amtrak. In fact, I just got done reading a book about a story on the trains and stuff. It was very fun. It was a fun book. But anyway, Amtrak holiday data. In between Christmas Eve and New Year's, Amtrak had more than 830,000 riders on its trains nationwide. And Amtrak saw a 10.84% increase in travel on Christmas Day. People also traveled more during New Year's Eve, saw a 9.31% increase in travelers on New Year's Eve, a 12.43% increase on travelers on New Year's Day. So good stuff on the train. I love train travel. Jack and I took a trip to New Mexico on a train. We had our own little sleeper car, had a little tiny bathroom and two bunk beds. I had the top bunk, and it really was. And then the couch that folds out, and you have your little table there and stuff. It really was so much fun. I enjoy train travel. Lots of stops, but it's just, I don't know. There is a mystique about it. I find you stop at all these little towns where the train, and they're quick. I mean, they tell you there's 5 minutes and that train goes. If you're not on that train, they don't wait for anybody. So if you get off at one of the stops, you better know that you have to jump back on because it's not going to be hanging around for you. So anyway, a big good news for Amtrak, and hopefully that one day we'll get a train that runs from the Coachella Valley to LA each day. That would really be amazing. In fact, I don't know. Some of the airlines are doing some special stuff for Coachella Fest. So we'll see. Maybe Amtrak will finally jump on board and do some special things. We're going to talk about that. Well, we might as well talk about that right now. American Airlines has a new travel option for Los Angeles residents wanting to arrive in Palm Springs for Coachella. The airline on Thursday announced it will offer nonstop flights both weekends of the music festival. And these flights, let's see, what are the price of the flights? They're around $334 round trip. So they will be flying people in from L.A. So, Alex, we have a winner?
Yes, we do have a winner, Lynn Glickoff from Palm Springs, on the air now.
Okay. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Francoise.
How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I listen to you all the time, and I've won quite a few things from you. But the tram, I'm excited about that, to see the snow.
Oh, well, good. Have you been up there lately?
No.
Okay.
No, I haven't been up there maybe in a couple years.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, yeah, it's going to be cold and chilly. But you know what? Like I said, what a great way to go get your snow fix is just go up there at the top of our own mountains right here at home.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Lynn, thanks so much for listening. Always appreciate it. Enjoy talking to you. Stay on the line. Make sure that Alex has your mailing info, and I will get those out to you. They'll be mailed out tomorrow. How's that?
Okay. And tell Sean we're going to miss him.
I will. Thank you. Yes, Sean and I are in touch, and we're in good hands here with Alex, but we certainly...
Oh, yeah.
And Alex knows Sean as well, and we're all we're going to continue to be a happy family here. We'll make it all work. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Lynn.
Happy
all right, stay
New
on the
Year
line.
To all of you.
Okay. All right. So we were talking about Amtrak and what else? Hertz. This is interesting. Hertz has teamed with Clear, a biometric secure identity platform, to launch Hertz Fast Lane, powered by Clear, a new service that uses biometrics to speed up their rental process. Members who sign up for Clear and link their accounts will be able to verify their identity with an eye scan or a fingerprint. I told you it was coming. This service marks the first use of biometrics by a major rental car company and the first time Clear's identity platform is replacing a physical ID. So, yep. Things are a-changing. All right, in other industry news in the travel world here, Mexico is welcoming pets in more places. In August, Isla Mujeres. I know I'm saying that. I-S-L-A, Isla?
Islas, yeah.
Islas Mujeres debuted its first beach where pets are allowed. And around the nation, various hotels declare their love of canine and feline globetrotters with creative amenities and services. However, experts warn that travelers with pets need to know the regulations. They say this is key on education on the restrictions and requirements to fly, enter, and exit the country, as well as utilize advanced planning. Mexico will currently allow 2 pets per person to enter the country from the United States, but airlines will only allow 1 pet per person to fly. So you have to know all this. All pets must be current with vaccines, health certificates, and must obtain veterinarian certificates. Upon arrival in Mexico, your documents and pets may be checked to ensure health quality. And if you think about it, it was Johnny Depp and was Amber Heard who took dogs into Australia or New Zealand or somewhere, and they weren't supposed to. And the government found, because of illnesses, they might bring a disease from another country into a country that those pets have not been, exposed to that disease. So anyway, there was a big deal with the government over their 2 dogs and getting their government. So be safe, folks. Use some common sense and find out what the rules are before you take your pets anywhere.
Yeah, it's like any other country. You got to make sure that, all your vaccines, whatever, are up to date, because you don't know how each area is going to affect you.
Yeah, and you don't want to leave your little pet there.
Yeah,
that would be just awful. All right. City of Venice is poised to impose a tax of up to $11 a day on visitors to its historic city center, a move that the mayor said would help defray cost of maintaining the popular tourist destination, which is having so much problem with the rising seas, the heavy rains, and that water can deteriorate. So I'm sure travel agents will just add that into your fee. Maybe the airlines, they haven't quite said how they're going to do this. They're not going to get $11 from each person as they walk out of the airport. Obviously, it's not going to be that way, but just expect this fee to be added on to whatever you see. So it's going to happen. And I'm sure other destinations, very popular ones, will follow suit. A number of ill passengers on cruise ships fell to the lowest level in at least 16 years in 2018, as improved sanitation and better practices kept outbreaks from mushrooming. Just 547 passengers were sick with gastrointestinal illness and outbreaks reported to the U.S. Government Centers for Disease Control. Less than half of the 1,214 reported the year before. And they say most of it, though, is actually caused by viruses that are brought back onto the ship by people who have stopped and got off the ship in different locations. They get it there and then bring it back on board. And which kind of makes sense. You know, stuff does happen. So anyway, but they say that they're getting a handle on this or putting more implementing more guidelines to control all of this. And speaking of the cruise ships, Carnival Cruise Line will all but eliminate free room service meals starting in mid-January. There will be a charge now for this amenity, and get used to it because it used to all be free, but all that is changing. The charges go from $2 to $6 depending on what you order, and they're just following suit for the hotels, what they charge for everything. Let's see. And that, you know what? I'm not even going to go into more industry news because I'm just going to hold on to some of this for a little bit later day because we are going to have our guests on. They are here. We're going to talk about it's Jill and Michael Brogan, who are getting over a little bit of a cold, so they might sound a little bit raspy, but that's okay, about their trip to Italy and the Vatican and some of the things that they saw. And like they're just like you and I, travelers. So I am so fascinated to hear about their trip. So stick around. Enjoy the news. We'll be right back for more Traveling with Françoise right here on Money Radio. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. I am Françoise Rhodes, your host. So great to have you with us today. The show has just been flying by, as always. And now I'm excited to have with us Jill and Michael Brogan. They are actually neighbors of mine that live where I live. And I heard about their trip to Italy, and I caught just a little snippet from Jill one day. She said, Françoise, we're going to the Vatican. We're going to get a private tour. And I said, oh, Jill, you know, I always throw this out. I want you to be on the show. And thankfully, they said yes. So welcome, both of you, to Traveling with Françoise.
Thank you.
All right. So now let's start with, first of all, they have been married 36 years, which congratulations to you. And so traveling, have you always been travelers?
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much so.
Yeah.
We're vagabonds.
Both here in the United States and in Europe a lot.
Okay. And if Michael sounds a little stuffy over there, as I said earlier, you're just getting over that thing going around, that cold. So
everybody has it.
Yeah. So thanks so much for being here just because of that. So let's talk about, how did this whole trip of going to Italy and the Vatican, how did it come about? Was it something you had planned to do? Had you been there before? Was this the first time?
Well, we had been to places in Italy before, always on a cruise as stops. But Rome had been on our bucket list. It was something that we had just always wanted to do. We were raised as devout Catholics, and it was just always something that we wanted to do and we had looked forward to. And so when we sat down to plan it, we had said, "It's what else do we want to do besides just going to Rome? You're not mm-hmm. going to spend all the money and fly all the way to Europe and just go to Rome." And so it turned out to be a combination of about 4 nights, 5 days in Rome before we got on a cruise. Mm-hmm. And then we flew to Barcelona, where the cruise left from. We were there for a couple of days, 13 days on the cruise ship. Mm. Then back in Barcelona for a couple of more days. And then we flew home. But we had taken our whole family on a cruise during the summer mm-hmm. to the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. And Jill and I knew that it was going to be a family trip with our grandchildren and so on. And what we really wanted to do was to look forward to something that was just for us. Mm-hmm. And so we also, at the same time we were planning the summer cruise, we decided to plan this one as well.
Sorry for my voice. I will interject. Yeah. My husband is the travel agent of the century, because he knew that wherever the cruise ship was going to dock mm-hmm. to go to Rome, mm-hmm. that it would be like a 2.5 or 3 hour trip to get there.
right,
and to get back to the ship.
Right.
So he purposely booked us into Rome early so that we would be able to see Rome.
Right.
And that way, when the cruise ship landed it to go wherever they were going to go, to go to Rome, we didn't even have to get off the ship. We just sat there like where the whole ship was empty. We just smiled and said, been there and done that, and we don't have to have a bus ride for 3 hours each way.
Exactly, and a great way to do it, because Jack and I spent a couple months in Europe a couple of times, and we started out actually in Italy and in Rome, and it's just incredible. And, of course, you have to see all the famous places that there are in Rome. And when you sit back and think of the people, the history there that have walked along those steps and all this, it just it really does blow you away. So when you were in Rome, when you went for your initial trip there, because I didn't even know that you went to Spain on this trip, so there's even more there to talk about. How did this whole Vatican experience come about?
Well, we have friends in our neighborhood that had been on a private tour to the Vatican, and they said the only way to see the Vatican is to do a private tour. You must do a private tour. Ignore what the cost is. You must do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we took their advice, and it was the best advice I've ever had. You bypass all the lines. We had breakfast. The tour guide that we had was not only a graduate with a major in art history. She also had to do 2 extra years of study and passing tests in order to be certified as a guide in the Vatican City. My head was exploding by the time we left because she had so much knowledge that I just couldn't even take it all in.
You do get saturated after a while, and your eyes kind of glaze over, and you think,
you need at least 4 hours alone if you're ever going to go there, and you need to be able to be a good walker, I think.
So now this tour was a private tour that that everyone could take if they sign up for it. It wasn't someone that you knew that said, okay, I'll take you behind the scenes. So where on this private tour, so that's a good point to know, because I've heard different stories from people saying that they've had a friend that worked there and they had a private tour with them, but I didn't realize now that you can actually have your own private tour that you're going to pay for. So on the private tour, besides getting not standing in the lines and all that, what stands out to you? What did you see that really blew you away?
Oh my gosh, there's 9 miles of art. There's $15 billion worth of artwork, which I guess in U.S. currency would be almost, what, $18 billion, Michael?
Yeah,
it's just, in the staircase, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
It is. And, you know, the Vatican Museum itself has a variety of rooms that were created over centuries by various different popes. And the ones I guess most people think of are the Raphael rooms, which were done in the 16th century and dominated by murals and frescoes and so on by Raphael. And they are absolutely gorgeous, of course. Interestingly enough, the Sistine Chapel, which is part of that tour, people are not allowed to talk. And so even though we had this very personal guide, she spent quite a bit of time in the hallways and in the other rooms talking about what we would see when we went in to the actual chapel. And interestingly enough, because she knew so many behind-the-scenes ways of getting around back-door kind of walkways and so on, when we entered the Sistine Chapel, we actually entered it behind, I don't know if it's called a throne, but behind the area where the Pope actually would sit. And, of course, it is where the cardinals meet when they elect a new Pope. But it is just everything that you would imagine it would be. So the colors are so bright and vibrant, and all of the murals, you know.
Were there any services going on while you were there?
No,
there wasn't any services going on. All right.
No.
And I remember back, and I just, someone told me about this a month or so ago, and I don't recall their answer, but I remember flash photography is a no.
Absolutely
a no still. But, of course, the cameras, everybody has everything off of flash, and you're able to take, because you have a ton of pictures that you have on your phone, just to try, like you said, Jill, to remember, because you cannot remember everything that you see when you go. How did you spend a full day at the Vatican?
Yes.
Pretty close to it, and it was pouring down rain when we left, and our guide was so gracious. She walked us to a cafe where we thought we were going to buy her lunch, and she said, oh, no, I have another six-hour tour to go. I
mean, we got there at about 8:30 in the morning, and we probably left at about 1 o'clock, I guess, then we went to this little cafe.
Well, one of the really fun things for me, as a little girl, my mother took me to the New York World's Fair, where I got to see the Pietà, and there she was in her shining glory again. So it was like childhood memories.
Oh, wow.
And she's very protected. She's in the Basilica of St. Peter's, but they now have curtains all around where she is, so you have to go behind a curtain in order to be able to see that particular
scene. Lots of bulletproof glass, because unfortunately someone decided that they wanted to come in and try to break her.
Oh, it's just terrible when I hear about stuff just, like that.
No.
So I know there's some travelers out there that say, well, you know, we just can't do these main tourist attractions and all that stuff. And for me, I have to say, the Vatican, regardless of religion or whatever, it is something you just don't want to miss in Italy. And do you feel the same way?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's just something that it's just an experience.
And
it's
can have your own guided tour. I mean, literally, you can get your own headphones and they will talk you through and walk you through. But you need a good, I would say, a minimum of 4 hours, minimum, if you were going to race through all 23 rooms.
Yeah, then it's not even almost bored. Some people just go and say, I'm there, and they leave, and then they don't remember anything. When other places in Italy that you would recommend?
Mr. Brogan.
Well, we have been to Florence, which was lovely. Naples is a very interesting city.
Great shopping, ladies. Lots of good leather goods.
There's a tip, Naples for leather goods. Yeah.
There is a. We were talking with friends of ours who also live in the same community as Francois and Jill and I, and they believe that Pompeii is something you absolutely had to go and see. In an earlier trip, Jill and I had gone to the Heracleum, and then on this trip we went and went through Pompeii. If there was a tip I would give of the two, I would strongly recommend going through the Heracleum. It's much smaller. I mean, Pompeii was a major city.
Oh, my gosh. It was just outrageous.
Heracleum was a spa resort for the emperors of Rome. It was very small. The guides were more intimate. It's built along terraces, so you have to be able to walk up and down.
Much easier walking than Pompeii.
And it had wonderfully restored baths that the Romans had used. So I would recommend that. Naples, other than that, is just a huge, enormous city. If you haven't been on a cruise there, the cruise ship actually pulls in right in the city, practically. I mean, you can walk off of the port right in to the oldest part of the city, next to the large opera house and close to where all of the shopping centers are. So it's a nice cruise city, because you're not having to get on a bus and travel. To go to the Florence or Pisa on a cruise ship, you have to go on a tour and you have to get off, and it's at least an hour and a half just to get to Pisa. Then you have to drive again to get to Florence.
Leaning Tower. Don't want to. Yeah, that is a quick sightseeing.
You know, it's another one of those things that if you have never been to Italy, you have to
see
it.
You have to see it.
But we've been there and done it before, so Another one of those days that we just enjoyed our peacefulness. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to step aside for just a moment. When we come back, let's kind of broaden our trip here and let's see what you were seeing in Spain and some of the other parts of your trip. No, all right. No, sure. Hey, folks, you're listening to Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio. We will be right back with Jill and Michael Brogan. Stick around. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You are listening to Traveling with Francoise. So great to have you with us today. And joining us in studio is Michael and Jill Brogan. Michael has getting over a little bit of cold going around, so we understand that little bit of raspy. You don't normally sound so sexy, Michael, okay?
With I think it's a great voice.
With that sexy rasp. Yeah, I get that. And people are saying, who is that woman on the air? Yeah, so you just returned from a fabulous trip, which included a cruise, parts of it in Italy. And then, which I didn't know, you also went to Spain, which is becoming quite the hot tourist destination. So now, when you were in Spain, were you on the ship the whole time, but did you get off and stay in a town for?
We went early to Barcelona before we got on the ship, and we had an exchange student that lived with us from Russia, and he joined us both in Rome and then flew to Barcelona to join us again. And we did a fabulous, fabulous tour of Gaudi. Gaudi is just everywhere in Barcelona. Michael, do you want to talk about the...
Well, I want to back up for just a second. The exchange student from Russia.
Correct.
And he was living at your house.
He lived with us for a year when our kids were in high school.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, I don't know.
He lives in Moscow, and he flew over to Rome to surprise us for Michael's birthday, and then he joined us again in Madrid, which was just in Barcelona, which was fabulous, fabulous.
Andre's a wonderful kid. He's 38 years old now, which tells you a lot. But he's a wonderful young man. And
bright man.
Always nice. We were in Paris one time over for a week at Thanksgiving when he was doing an internship for his graduate degree at the Russian embassy in Paris. And he joined us and was just an incredibly wonderful guy. He speaks multiple languages, and he was great to have around when we were in Paris. And he had not been to Rome before. So it was nice he got to see Rome with us, and I think he really enjoyed it.
That's great. So then he met you in Barcelona as well.
Right.
And now your Barcelona trip, let's talk, because part of this was on a cruise ship, so you disembarked, or you hadn't even got on the cruise ship yet.
Well, we hadn't even got on
yet. Oh, you haven't gone yet.
We were, my husband, the great travel agent that he is, does days ahead, and then we did days after. Mm-hmm. So we really got to absorb.
Yeah,
and
so
we've been to Barcelona before.
We had. We also had a foreign exchange student who lived with us from Madrid. Mm-hmm. And at the last minute, he couldn't come to join us.
It was Black Friday, and
Barcelona.
He's in sales. They have Black Friday in Europe, too, ladies. And it was really good.
And I want to say, Jill, you keep saying that Michael is a travel agent, but he's not.
No, he's not.
He's my personal travel agent. I didn't want people to think,
No. I could hire him out because he does a really good job.
Okay, he's your personal.
He's just my personal travel agent.
You never know, because someone might be calling Alex right now saying, can I get his number? But, yeah,
When we were in Barcelona, this is our second time being in Barcelona, and the big touristy thing in Barcelona is a major thoroughfare that goes up from the waterfront called Las Ramblas, and it's a big avenue that's full of all kinds of boutiques and hotels and restaurants and whatever. Once you get out of that area, Barcelona is this lovely, beautiful city, and we stayed in a lovely little boutique hotel near Andre, the Russian student, said, oh, we're on the Champs-Élysées of Barcelona. Huh? It's this huge, big, broad avenue with all kinds of high-end stores and restaurants and things around. It's called Passeig de Gracia. But it's the real highlight of Barcelona is to go to La Sagrada Familia, which is the Church of the Holy Family that was started by Gaudi over 100.
And won't be finished until 2020. They're still building it.
2026, oh, right. Yeah, they're still building. Yeah. But that was, we had a tour guide there. We were so fortunate. We had tour guides in a number of places where we went that were just incredible. I mean, just
this church can hold 10,000 people, and their choir loft holds 600 singers. The magnitude of this church is just like overwhelming.
Well, I want to ask you guys a question. When you travel, so obviously you've done quite a bit of traveling through your 36 years of marriage, and you're going to have more trips in the horizon. When you go, are you looking for more of the local experience? How much do you try to fit in the course, the sites that everybody's supposed to see, or is it more important to you to get to go where the locals go to eat and get a real feel for the culture of what's going on?
Number two, yes, okay. we really do. But if we're going to be somewhere that we know we may not be back at again, we will definitely do a tour because we want to make sure we get all of the highlights of that, and then you have time to still get in with the culture.
Okay. All right.
Well, Joe will frequently say to, we've been to Ireland a number of times. We'll get off of a train in Ireland, walk up to the taxi line and just say to the taxi driver, well, we wanted you to take us to where we're staying, but let's hire you for tomorrow. What would you charge for 4 or 5 hours? And we want you just to take us to all of the places that you want us to see in the area where you live. Oh. And that sometimes turns out to be the most beautiful,
the very best,
wonderful experiences.
And they're so welcoming.
Oh, they
people
are.
People are so welcoming. If you go, if you're nice to people, they're nice to you. It's really simple.
Wonderful. Yeah.
And they want to show you the highlights of their environment and their atmosphere, and they're so proud of where they live, and they just, it is the very best way to go. I mean, we seldom, other than if we're, like I say, somewhere that we actually say, okay, we're going to be at the Vatican, we need to have a tour.
Right, yeah.
Or we're going to go see, like, Gaudi, we need to do this tour. Mm-hmm. Other than that, we typically do as Michael said. We will barter with somebody when we get off the train or when we get off the plane and say, show us what you want us to see.
Yeah,
I'm also not afraid to stay in sort of unusual places.
Good, yeah.
We stayed one time. We were poor San Juan, Puerto Rico. Feel so badly for their recovery, but we were there one time. We stayed on top of a salsa bar.
A salsa bar?
Salsa bar.
Okay.
It was just this absolutely beautiful.
I love it. It was a great boutique hotel.
Hotel, and right in the middle of Old San Juan. And then in Ireland, the last time we were there, we stayed on a sheep ranch.
Oh, I bet that was fascinating.
It was so much fun.
Oh.
The owners of this small sheep ranch had a separate cottage, I guess you would call it. And people were a little nervous because it was out and about and away from things. But I'm not afraid to go to places and then have the locals help organize things for me.
That's wonderful. Yes. And that's why your experience is amazing.
Yes, but the sheep ranch was fabulous because she brought me fresh eggs every morning. She brought me vegetables from her garden. That was really fun. Wicklow, Ireland.
Wicklow. Yeah.
All right. Well, we have just about, less than a minute to go. So I'm going to ask you very quickly, where's your next adventure?
Oh, well, the Suez Canal, maybe.
Right. Okay.
I don't know.
We're checking on what Jordan and all of that.
We're supposed to go from Rome through the Suez Canal to Abu Dhabi on a repositioning cruise in November. But I'm having some second thoughts.
Okay. actually, I just had one of my listeners. She came back and said Abu Dhabi was the main. She just came back from India. So, well, thank you so much for joining us.
Our
really
pleasure.
Appreciate it. I hope you will come back and join us again.
Absolutely.
I think this half hour just flew by. So, folks, next week on the show, what are we doing next week? Next week we have Malcolm from A1 Custom Golf Cars is going to join us because everyone needs golf cars in the Valley. You don't have to be a golfer. He'll be with us in the first hour. In the second hour, Irv Leifer just went on a tour with ACT to Africa, and his photographs were amazing. Irv has been showing me. So Irv's going to join us to talk about his trip to Africa. So until then, have a great week, everyone. And as always, it's never too late to get a life. See you next time. Bye.